is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and as we begin this week, we're going to have our special feature. I'm going to read from the Rockcliffe Review, and some of it is written in a way, well, I can't just read it out. I'm going to explain to you what we did that particular Sunday in that sermon. The title was titled Questions and Answers About Life After Death. And this question, this title came from a little publication that I received from the Church of Christ at the corner of Get Well and Done in Memphis, Tennessee. And they sent this out. It's called Questions and Answers About Life After Death. And these are some of the questions that are given Bible answers in this publication. After death, will we be conscious? Is there a resurrection? Where will we be after death? Will we know one another in heaven? Will we remember life on earth? Is hell eternal? What is heaven like? What is the meaning of body, soul, and spirit? Can we understand Sheol, Hades, and Gehenna? How can we prepare for life after death? And what if I am lost? Now we note in this that oftentimes the curiosity we have about questions such as these goes beyond what the scriptures say. And yet we've got to stop where the scriptures stop. Why, we have answers, but we may not be fully satisfied with the answers given to the scriptures. But we must stop there. And in stopping where the scriptures stop and being silent where the Bible is silent on things, we are showing our respect for the words given to us by the Holy Spirit. We don't have all we would like to know about these things. We can be sure we have all that we need. Oh, we have vivid imaginations. Too often we're so impressed with our own surmising that we try to read our own thoughts into the scriptures and then teach from obscure texts as though these things are hidden behind the words. When I hear such as this, I'm reminded of how Paul warned Timothy to avoid foolish and unlearned questions, knowing they do gender strife. Unlearned questions are questions wherein the answer is not taught. What the Bible teaches is sufficient. The Bible teaches some things explicitly and some things implicitly. Through careful use of reason and logic, we can learn from the Scripture some of those things that are implied, but we must stay humble and we must learn to distinguish between things actually implied by the text and things unnecessarily derived of our own inferences and speculations that go beyond the truth revealed. Our desire to sound profound often leaves us looking like fools. Where do we go for such information? Jesus is a good source of information for these kind of questions. He was in the spirit realm with God before there was a material world. The Word was God. All things were made by Him. He came to us in the flesh as the Son of God, and through Him God spoke to us. He commended His Spirit to His Father's hands as He died on the cross. But 3 days later, His Spirit returned to His uncorrupted body of flesh, and He rose from the grave. 40 days later, He ascended into the clouds to return to His Father in heaven. As He promised, He sent the Holy Spirit as the Comforter to His apostles to guide them into all truth. This is the same Spirit that moved the prophets of old. These old prophets, Jesus Himself, and the men after Jesus guided by that Spirit are the only reliable sources we have for the answers to these questions. Proud, vain, and foolish is the man that thinks he knows better. Jesus helps us. with the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Some would dismiss this information as a parable, but they cannot prove this is a parable. It is true that Jesus taught many things in parables, but he taught nothing by myths or fables. When I read this story, I'm reminded how Jesus once said, "If it were not so, I would have told you." In the sermon, we will begin with this story, for it was told by one who knew about all things of which he spoke, and who knows better than any of his critics. Well, we went from that to preach a sermon of what we can learn from the rich man and Lazarus. One thing we learn is that the rich man was conscious after death, and he recognized Abraham, and he recognized Lazarus. So yes, we can infer from these things that after death, we will be conscious. And yes, we'll be able to know one another. And there's many other things that we can learn. But we're not going to spend that time now on this program to answer those things. Maybe in a future program, we'll delve more into these very interesting questions. But we're going to have to get on to our Sunday school lesson. It's a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of April 11th, 1926. The story of creation. And in just a moment, I'm going to read that story again. Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Before I do, I'll remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Viola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now in the time remaining, let's really begin the beginning of this grand book. And we begin with the first book of Moses, commonly called Genesis. In Genesis 1:1 we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was waste and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth put forth grass, herbs yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit after their kind, wherein is the seed thereof upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, herbs yielding seed after their kind, and trees bearing fruit, wherein is the seed thereof after their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven, to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, and for seasons, and for days, and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven, to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, a fourth day. And God said, let the waters swarm with swarms of living creatures. And let birds fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moveth wherein the waters swarmed after their kind, and every winged bird after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth. And there was evening, and there was morning, a fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after their kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the ground after its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-yielding seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for food, and to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heaven, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life. I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 1. And the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day for all the work he had made. And God blessed the seventh day, and hallowed it, because that in that he rested from all the work which God had created and made. Now Genesis chapter 2, beginning in verse 4. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth, wherein they were created in the day that Jehovah made the earth and the heaven. And no plant of the field was yet in the earth, and no herb of the field had yet sprung up. For Jehovah had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. But there went up a mist from the earth, and watered the whole face of the land. And Jehovah formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. And Jehovah planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground Jehovah made God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from it thence it was departed four ways. We'll go back to this next class.